Well, if you want to, you can just open your Bibles to 1 Timothy 4 if we actually get to these verses. But what we're talking about are the cults. And we started a study a number of weeks ago, and we've gone through things like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and Christian Science and different things like that, the Unitarian Universalist, Transcendental Meditation. Well, we're into a group that is really unique because it's so different. We're calling it the New Age Movement. And we started part one last week. We'll most likely finish it this week. And if we finish it, I also had part two, but I didn't bring the sheets in because I just didn't know. And if we do finish this one this morning, either we'll talk about some questions about it, or I've got some places in the Bible I want us to look at. But anyway, the New Age movement is a weird thing because it's not like somebody that's going to come to your door and knock on the door and say, I'm a Jehovah's Witnesses or I'm a Mormon. It's a whole different worldview. It's called the New Age movement, but it's not new. It's really Eastern mysticism. It's humanism and pantheism all rolled into one. It has come into America by a lot of different ways. And, you know, if you think about it, it's the transcendental meditation and the channelers and holistic medicine and positive thinking movement. Not all positive thinking are part of the New Age movement, but that includes part of that in there. The human potential movement. Eckhart Tolle, I didn't bring his book today, but the New Earth and all of that. L. Ron Hubbard, Oprah. You know, it's sad as it is to say Oprah's involved in all of this now, and she's leading millions of people astray. Not, you know, because of the influence that she has in her show. And so we started that last week. I even had some different handouts and things to show you. We'll just review a little bit of that, and then we'll continue on in our part one. So let's start with a prayer, and then we'll just get right on into it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Thank you for our Sunday school class. Thank you for each one that's in here. Thank you for Jesus Christ and eternal life as a gift. And we thank you, Lord, for the truth that there is a God. There is the true God. There is the Savior, Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross, that he paid for sin and rose again, and he gives us eternal life. And we have the Bible, which is the perfect revelation that you have given to us. We have the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, that salvation is simply a gift, and Jesus is the Son of God. Thank you, Lord, for those great truths. We know that out there are groups and organizations and people and all kind of things that do not hold to that. In fact, they hold to things that are different from that, and they lead people astray. And so, Lord, it breaks our heart. We know that in the latter days, people will turn away from the faith and pay attention to deceitful spirits, as Paul writes in his word. And Lord, we just realize that what all is out there is so confusing to people. Help us just be able to gain an understanding of this New Age stuff so that we can just be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is in us. Lord, our goal is that be trained and equipped and grounded in what we believe and then ready to give an answer. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned last week that Norman Geisler, who was a professor at Dallas Seminary, now he's in another place, and he's great. He writes a lot of books dealing with apologetics and things like that. He said this: the New Age movement is a broad coalition of various networking organizations, many who are not even aware of their connection in what we call New Age. And that's sort of what it is. And you can go to the bookstore. I went to the OSU bookstore the other day, and I looked, and there was Embraced by the Light, The Secret, The New Heart, Saved by the Life, Death and Dying, and The Power of Now. All of those books are New Age books. They're just sitting right there. In fact, they're in the religious section. So people will walk in, and they say, I want something for religion. A lot of people walk in there and they're thinking that some of these are Christian books. In fact, there are some churches that are actually taking some of Eckhart Tolle's books and using them, thinking that they're Christian books because he talks about Jesus in there, and he talks about forgetting yourself, which sounds like a Christian worldview, is, you know, to not look out for yourself but look out for others and all of that. We'll see that in Philippians, but that's not what they mean. And so there's a lot of things in there. We looked at Thessalonians about this one world deal. The ultimate goal of the New Age movement, even though they don't even know they're all together, the ultimate goal will come about to be a one world government, a one age, a one world of everything. In the New Age movement, it's a pantheistic Hinduism, Eastern mysticism worldview. And so what most believe is that, and let me just give you this summary. The idea is this, that here you are, you're a person. You don't realize who you are. If you're Eckhart Tolle, he's telling you, you don't understand who you are. If you're L. Ron Hubbard, he's telling you that you came, basically you're a descendant of some creature from another planet who deposited people on this planet, and we've forgotten who we are because we think we're limited to these bodies and we don't know any better. And so for some people in all these movements, we don't really know who we are. We think we're people, but what we are is we're really God. We're really gods. Where there's inside of us is a connection with everything, and all the world is one, and the whole universe is one. And so if we would finally realize that we're really God, and that we connect with, because God is just the universe. God is just a sort of a force sort of thing. And if we just knew who we were, we'd be okay. And that's why the books like The Power of Now and The New Earth and all of those books that are being written, the human potential, the holistic health, all of these things all tie together. So we'll see it. And we talked about it. We read some things last week. We talked about they've got all the channeling things. They've got the transcendental meditation. There are people in this group that actually believe that they channel, that they get information. There's a woman by the name of Jay-Z Knight, and she speaks. She channels from a monk who lived about 1,000 years ago, and he's supposed to be very wise. And so she takes him, and he comes through her and gives wisdom to people. Of course, people pay her for that wisdom that he gives through her and that kind of thing. And so there's channelers and all those kind of things. We talked last time that Geisler said this: Western society has experienced this shift from atheism to pantheism, because atheism, when man as a whole in the Western society said, oh, we don't believe in a God, we're humanist, they realized that humans aren't, you know, we can't do it. So they've switched over now to a pantheistic worldview, which is God is everything. God is in everything, and God is everything. And there's a problem inside of every human being, and that is that God has placed eternity in our hearts, Ecclesiastes, and that every one of us know there's something more than this. And so instead of people turning to the truth of the Word of God and Jesus Christ and the true God, they're turning to some other spiritual thing to try to find what this longing, this eternality that we've got inside of us is. And so it's really sad. It's this New Age movement is in religion, it's in entertainment and media and music and schools and businesses and everything else. And it goes from religion to pantheism, and people like Scientology and Hare Krishna and Unitarian Universalists and Baha and Eckhart Tolle and Deepak Chopra, this, you know, and Eastern mysticism and Hinduism and all that. That's in religion, but it goes all the way to entertainment, starting back with Star Wars and He-Man and the Dark Crystal, and then moving into modern-day television with Oprah and Eckhart Tolle and those guys, and then in the music, starting back with the Beatles and My Sweet Lord when they got connected with Maharishi Mahayoshi. You remember that? That the Beatles, I mean, remember when I was in, many of you are not my age, but I can remember when I went off into college. I'm so much younger than a lot of you, but anyway, so I remember going off to college and the Beatles, you know, and the Beatles had songs like I Want to Hold Your Hand and all that. And then they went through this period in which they got involved with Maharishi Mahayogi, and they got into Eastern mysticism and they got into drugs and LSD and everything else. And Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band and all, My Sweet Lord and all these songs. And so if you heard My Sweet Lord, you think, is he talking about Jesus? No, he's not talking about Jesus. He's talking about Lord Maitreya. He's talking about an Eastern mysticism God. He's not talking about the true God. I mean, so that was all there. And in the schools, I read that thing last week about, you know, here's from a creative development, effective development and creative arts from Linda Evans, the College of Charleston, and what they do with elementary school education, where they take these children and make them lie down, and they're going up a mountain. They're going to imagine going up a mountain and meeting a wise man. The wise man's going to be able to tell them all this, and they want to go back to the wise man and pay attention, because you're going to be going back to him. He's going to give you a gift. What is the gift? I mean, it's you know, it's all of this weird things. We would not want our children going through this. But people are doing this, and so it's everywhere. And in businesses, you know, I read last week about some of the different things that they were doing. Well, it's got a lot of different names, from the Aquarian Conspiracy to the whole human potential movement to holistic health movement to new consciousness to cosmic consciousness, all of these different names. You'll see names like potential and consciousness, energy and synergy and holistic, and you'll see the rainbow and the unicorn and even 666 and all of those kind of things. They all tie together. Last week I quickly went over, and I just want to do it again, the tenets, the things sort of, what is this thing? And they build on one another. It starts with, go ahead and go to the next one, I think. It starts with this, monism. And monism is that in this belief, and they all build upon each other, and I gave this to you last week, so you should have it. And if you don't, just write it in. I hope everybody did get, Freddie was handing these out. Everybody should have just part one of the New Age movement, part one. But monism is that all is one, everything and everyone is interrelated and interdependent. Everything's one. Everything. Humans, animals, rocks, everything. God, the God in us, you're God. Everything's God. Everything is one. This is God. You're God. We're all part of this universe, the air. Everything all comes together to be one. Now, when you look at the Bible, it's totally separate from that. Because the Bible says that God is separate from His creation. God is the Creator and there's a creation. God spoke the creation into being. God is not part of His creation. Just remember that. He's not. He's not the grass and He's not the air. He created the grass and the air. So He's not, all is not one as monism is. The second thing, from monism, you move to pantheism. Since everything is one, then pantheism means God is in everything. That's what pantheism means. Pan is the Greek word for all, and theos is the Greek word for God, so all is God. That's what pantheism is. And that means every aspect of everything God is. And we go all the way, you know, with that idea that it's sort of like the drop in the ocean. As water goes into the ocean, everything is one big ocean, and we're just drops, and we're all part of it. That moves to the third thing, which is that we are gods. If all is one and everything is God, then we are gods. And I quoted Shirley MacLaine about saying, every soul must find and realize that you must worship nothing other than yourself because you are God. And that's what we have. And it's a sad thing because the whole idea of this New Age movement is that you find out who you are. Just pick up Eckhart Tolle's book. And he'll say, a new way of thinking to see you as you really are. And he talks about removing the ego and the self and all that. But what he boiled down to is you move it all because you realize who you are. You're all part of the universe. You're God. So everything is one. God is in everything. We're gods. The fourth thing is that the mind creates reality. Now that's big. The mind creates reality. What you think is real and right. That's why there are altered states. That's why there's transcendental meditation. That's why you have to think a certain way. Because your mind creates the reality that you want it to be. We always say, well, no, sometimes there's the perception, but there are things that are real. We say, no, no, they say, whatever you believe, whatever you think is real becomes right and real. That's why you can think you're God and you are God, because you think you're God and your mind creates reality. From that, since your mind creates the reality, then your experience validates the truth. Whatever you experience, that becomes truth. The Bible always says the opposite of that. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. You do not line the Bible up with your experiences. You line your experiences up with the Bible. With them, you don't even use the Bible. There's no such thing in that aspect. Whatever you experience becomes the truth for you. And that's why people say things like, well, that's my truth. That's what I believe is right. Now, you have the right to believe whatever you believe is right and whatever you experience. But in my experience, this is my truth. And so the mind creates the reality and the experience validates the truth. And then in all of this, almost every group, there's some form of reincarnation. There's some form of coming back again, that whole idea of the karma aspect. Now, you see people go, oh, karma, bad karma, oh, good karma. And they, you know, the way it's being used in our culture is sort of like you do something wrong, it's going to come back to get you. Technically, the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mock. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you sow with the flesh, you reap with the flesh corruption. You sow with the Spirit, you reap with the Spirit eternal life. There is a truth from the Bible that what you put in, you get out. That there are consequences to your actions. That's not karma. That's a biblical truth. Karma ultimately is that how you live now, you're going to die, you're going to become some force, and then you may come back. You may come back in something else, and how you live now is going to affect how you're reincarnated, how you come back. You may come back as an animal. You may come back as a bug. You may come back as a different person, whatever it is. And so the idea is there, you want to live a good life. Of course, it's a good life based on what you think is truth and what is reality, but you want to live that so that when you come back, you want to come back better than a bug. You know, you want to come back better than maybe a cow, even though in India, what do you do with the cows? They're sacred because they're your uncle. That's the problem. That's why you can't eat them, because they're starving to death over there, but you can't eat them because that could be Uncle John, and so you can't eat that. So it always has some type of form. Yes. I don't know. See, that's the thing. Because this whole thing is a system. It's like the force of God, which is the universe and everything, there are somehow built in there that's what decides. Not you personally decide, but you know, and that's how we'd say, well, how does somebody decide who comes back as what? Well, somebody doesn't decide. The final thing is the relativeness. There's no absolutes, of course. And there are. because there's no, you can't say there are no absolutes, because if you say there are no absolutes, you just said an absolute statement, so that's an absolute. So you have to say, best we can tell, there maybe not any absolutes. And then you're getting close to it, but you can't get absolutely close to that. Because, well, you just can't get to it, right? So when a guy says there aren't any absolutes, really, so that's not true what you just said. Well, no, there aren't any absolutes, but that's not true then. Because if it is, then it's an absolute statement, then your statement's wrong. So either way, you're wrong. And most people, when you challenge them on that, because they don't like to be, they don't not ever challenge on that. They'll just say a statement and go on, and most people don't challenge them on it. But if they say there aren't any absolutes, and you say, well, then your statement is wrong, because that's an absolute statement if it's right. So the New Age is not really new. It's the old Eastern mysticism and all of those kind of things. I gave some quotes last week from Kirby Anderson. Listen, if you really want to get some good stuff, just go on to Probe Ministries online. Go to Kirby Anderson, and he has, they really do a great job of apologetics and those things. And he has sections on New Age and Oprah and everything else. And you can read some of the things that they write. What I've done, and we're going to get into it in the next couple of weeks, I've gone to the websites of Eckhart Tolle and Deepak Chopra L. Ron Hubbard, and I've gone ahead and pulled some things off on what they believe and what they're telling people, so when we get to part three, we're going to have three parts of this. When we get to part three, we're actually going to look at those in a little bit of detail, because you hear these people all the time. You hear, you know, John Travolta's, they're L. Ron Hubbard, they're Scientology. They're into that. That's called the religion of the stars. It's got stars in it, all right. But it's it's a religion, and so we're gonna do some of that as well. You think back about the very beginning when Satan said to Eve, what did he say? He said, God says in the day that you eat that, you will be like God, knowing good and evil, and you will not die, and your eyes will be opened. And has God really said that? You remember that's what Satan said. Think about that. When Satan said you'll be like God, that's pantheism. And he says you won't die, that'll be the reincarnation. And when your eyes will be open, that's your new state of consciousness. And when has God really said that? That's relativism. It all ties together. The New Age is the old stuff from the garden. It's the same stuff. It's always out there. Let me ask you this question. Tell me why. Why are people looking for this stuff? They're looking for God. There's eternity in our hearts. That we know there's rights and wrongs. We know there's more after this. And yet many people, instead of turning to the truth, they're looking for something, and they're looking for something spiritual now. See, for a long time, they said, we don't need God, so we're humanists. We do our own thing. But that failed too. And so now they've got to come back, and we got to find something that's spiritual, something that's beyond ourself. Instead of the truth of Christianity was beyond ourself is this karma thing, this reincarnation thing, this thing that the whole world is God and that we're God and all this is together. So it's not anything new. It is not at all. Let me give you, this is where we stopped last week. Let me give you some leaders. What has often been called the grandmother of the New Age movement is Helena Petrova Bielski, and she was she lived in 1831 to 1891. She was a Russian mystic. She got into all this, and she was in what they call theophacy, which means God philosophy. She said that she received revelation from God, and she got secret documents, and she wrote in these things in 1888 about one world. Now, she goes way back, and most people don't know much about her today, but she's sort of the person that was, especially in the, you start getting over into the Western world, she was one that started with that idea. Then another person came along by the name of Alice Bailey. She lived in England, and she was English, and she lived in, she died about 1949. But she was into telepathic communication. She was a channeler. She was one of the first people that started making this famous that she could do something. There was a Tibetan monk named Duwal Kul that she spoke for. She spoke for Duwal Kul, you know. He was a pretty cool guy. And so she spoke for him. She wrote about the reappearance of Christ. This was in those years. She died in 1949. She talked about discipleship in the New Age. And so from that, then we get to some of the modern people of the last 15 to 20 years. And that one is a person by the name of Marilyn Ferguson. She wrote a book in 1980 called The Aquarian Conspiracy. And this is the, she wrote about the network of this that was going to bring radical change to the United States. Now, she's into all this stuff, and she wants everybody to connect together. So that's one of the signs of this thing is people want everybody to be together. I'm going to quote you in a few minutes, Deepak Chopra, about, I'm not even say his name right, but anyway, he's the guy that you've seen him on TV, and he's supposed to be the famous healer and thinker and all of these things, and he's going to help people find their consciousness. You know, and they say the same thing over. Everybody says the same thing. You have to look. You have to look inside to find it. What does Jeremiah say? The heart is deceitful and wicked. Paul says, I know in me, that is my flesh, dwells what? No good thing. Well, when you look inside, what do you see? Sin. You need a Savior. They're all telling everybody to look inside and find who they really are. Benjamin Cream is kind of famous. It may not be famous to us, but he's famous in his whole movement. He's a prophet. He speaks for the Messiah. He calls the Christ the Lord Maitreya. He established the Tara Center in Hollywood, California. His goal of the Tara Center, if you go on the website, look at it, their goal is a new world order, a new world religion, and a new world leader. That's their goal. They want one world order, one world religion, and one world leader. What does that sound like to you? Who does that sound like to you? The Antichrist. That's what it sounds like. Now, we would say one day there is going to be, this world will be ruled by one ruler, and it'll be one world order and everything. But that's going to be Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They're wanting this thing now, and we'll talk about it more, but the key is Christ. He's called Lord Maitreya. Under this leadership, there's supposed to be a whole transformation into one world. Here's their plan. We want to stop crime. We want to bring justice. No war. Stop disease, terrorism, and stop hunger and injustice. Deepak Chopra, I went to his website the other day. Actually, I went to a place, and he was speaking. So it was one of those YouTube things, and he was speaking. And they were asking him about what he thought about all of this and the terrorists and the bombings and everything. And he says, what we need to do, and this is how he did it, what we need to do is no longer call them terrorists, but sit down with them and show them peace and love. Yeah, while they cut your head off. You can do that. You sure can. They blow that head right up. And that's, you know, and with these modern leaders of Eckhart Tolle and Oprah and Scientology and all of that. When you get to it, it goes down to this, that it goes back to, I think, next slide. It goes the big three. As you think about the Bible, there's really not the Bible involved. When you think about Christ, it's a different Christ. And you think about salvation, their salvation is ultimately union with creation, okay, with the creation. Let me give you sort of a running start of this. 1975, full-page ad, New York Times, the Christ is coming, peace, security will wipe out all injustice. That's what the page said. That's all it said. 1982, worldwide, major newspapers of the world, it said, the world has had enough of hunger and injustice and war. The answer, a world teacher for all humanity, the Christ is here now. That's what was in the paper. 1985, full page ad again, New York Times, the Christ is in the world. It was in third person. It said, when will he show himself? And it said, very soon. And then in 1987, on January 12th, USA Today, full-page ad. And I brought this one out last week. I got this one for you. This is what it says. And, of course, if you look at the bottom of the page, who is sponsoring this? Tara Center, P.O. Box 6001, North Hollywood, California. The Christ is in the world now. Drugs, AIDS, poverty. Is there a solution? A great world teacher for all people, every religion and no religion. What's he saying? He's saying the problems of mankind are real but solvable. The solution lies within your grasp. The answer to your problems are simple. Without sharing injustice, we will know no peace. Allow me to show you the way. Question is, when will we see this man? When will we see the Christ? It is my intention to reveal myself at the earliest possible moment. Now, this was 1987. So, obviously, it's still not time for him to reveal himself. And I talked to you last week that when Jesus Christ comes, this is not Christ. This is not the Christ. This is not Jesus Christ. This is a false Christ. This is probably Antichrist. But the truth is this. When Jesus comes, he will not take out an ad in the paper. When he comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, every eye will see, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. He's coming to rule in righteousness and justice. So there won't have to be anything like this. That's Benjamin Cream's organization, by the way, the Tara Group. Geisler says the Christ this Christ is not Jesus Christ, but a universal Christ spirit which has indwelt different great leaders. Now I want you to understand this. That if you said Jesus Christ to them and you'd say Jesus of Nazareth, they'd say, Yeah, Jesus was a great man. See, there is the Christ, which is the Spirit. And he indwelled Jesus for a while, he indwelled Buddha for a while, he indwelled somebody else for a while, and now he's indwelling this other man, whoever this is, for a while. And so what we're doing is we're looking for this Spirit of the Christ who's going to come bring everything together. Now, we'll go quickly. Why would people get into this? First of all, failure of humanism. It didn't work. Without God, there's nothing. And so they say, well, okay, well, now we got to go to God. We got to go and say everything is God. So failure of humanism. Second is they had a desire to be in control. I mean, if you're God, guess what? You're pretty much in control, right? People say, well, you think you are God because you're going to do anything you want? Yeah, well, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I am God. We're all God. That's why there aren't any moral absolutes, because we can do anything we want to do because we're ultimately God, because everything all flows together. The third thing is there are no moral absolutes. You decide what is right and wrong. You make up the rules because you're God. And what's right for you is right for you, and what's right for somebody else is right for somebody else. And that's how it all fits. And you see this in our culture today, not just in New Age movement, but you see people saying whatever's right for you is right for you. In fact, in our culture today, there can be two people who believe something exactly opposite, and people will say, well, both of them are right. It's right for both of them, even though they're opposites. And so that's our culture, and that's what it's moving to. And then the fourth thing is this promise of this optimistic future. Because, see, we want to get rid of drugs and poverty. And is there a solution? Of course there's a solution. Well, next time we're gonna look at what do they say about the Bible and salvation and Christ, and then we're going to really get into some of these things. So let me give you quickly applications. I know that's the second bell. First of all, realize there is a New Age movement. I mean, just realize there it is. There is such a thing that God is all, man is God, all is one, all of those things. Realize that's there. There's been the shift from materialism, humanism, to pantheism and spiritualism. When you say spiritualism, it almost sounds good. Like, oh, spiritualism. People are going to be spiritual. No. It's not the right kind of spiritualism. Okay, that's number one. Number two is proclaim. Okay, do you have a number three? Okay, well, number two should say proclaim that God is the center and not man. See, it's not man being the center. It's not us that we're all God and we do everything. There is a true God, and he does it all. And he is the creator, redeemer, sustainer, provider, protector. And we need a savior. Mankind needs a savior. Man cannot save himself. Those kind of things. So anyway, that's where we'll stop today. What we've seen in this stuff is that there's this big movement. And it is out there. So be real careful when you pick up a book that looks like it's a Christian book, but it may not be a Christian book. You got to know who these authors are and what they're talking about. Look at the back. See what they're saying. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for our class. Thank you for the issues. Help us, Lord, to be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. Help us to be grounded in the truths of the Word of God so that we can know what we believe and why, and then be ready to help others. Lord, thank you that we have people like Probe Ministries and some others who really do a great job on studying and putting these things together so that we can know it and help us to understand it. Lord, we know it's out there. May we be ready. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.